Okay, thank you. And this is, as the slide indicates, this is work done with BALA. It follows directly on from the work that we presented at this workshop last year in Barcelona, where we looked at privacy leakage via online social networks at the time and private information and identifiers being leaked at that point. What we've done is we tried to extend that work by looking at mobile online social networks. So certainly mobile access is becoming quite prevalent. And there are new twists here. There are things like mobile devices have unique identifiers. Mobile devices allow users to specify quite precise locations. So one of the things is, are there new privacy concerns potentially that are here? And to what degree are some of these potential concerns actually happening? So as I said, things like user presence and location. Another phenomena that we see is interconnections between social networks. So certainly things like sites like Twitter and Facebook have connections between not only these mobile online social networks, some of these new ones that have come along, but other sites as well. So things and activities that a user does on one of these mobile online social networks can be shared with Twitter or shared with Facebook. Those activities then become by default public on those social networks, and so maybe some of the privacy controls that a user might have on a mobile social network site is not necessarily the same as what they have on a more traditional OSN. Okay, I do want to make one note down here at the bottom. There was another paper by Guanling Chen locally here that had done some initial look on social networking and location privacy concerns that did not get included in the paper. Unfortunately, we came across this paper after we had submitted the final version. So here's a kind of a conceptual picture that shows what we have happening. So it shows a couple mobile online social networks on the left and the right with a social networking site providing some sort of API connection there in the middle. And what we see is these mobile social networking sites that we're getting a variety of interfaces to these sites. So we have a kind of a full website, kind of a traditional interface that we might have from our desktop, okay, or our laptop using a browser. We also see via mobile devices, we either have a mobile browser, so we have mobile websites with mobile-specific content, and increasingly common that we see that many of these sites are developing their own device-specific applications for particular devices, okay? So all of these interfaces are being used. We looked at all three of these interfaces in terms of what do we see in terms of interactions with, say, third parties, okay, that may be serving ads or looking at user behavior. Also, to what degree are these various mobile social networking sites connecting with OSNs providing this API connect? Okay, so a different number of interfaces and interconnections. Here's another picture that shows similar kinds of things. So just like social networking sites, these mobile social networking sites maintain a number of pieces of information about and relate it to a user, so those may be shared directly within the mobile social networking site with other users. Also via these OSN connectors, they're shared with friends and other users in more traditional social networking sites. So some new features of these these mobile social networking sites relative to what we see in traditional social networking sites. As mentioned earlier, there's this notion of a check-in mechanism. So mobile sites encourage, or certainly many of these sites have a mechanism where a user can explicitly check in their current location. Okay, this is there so that a user may share their information with the mobile social networking site and potentially share that with friends or even share that with other users of that mobile social networking site. Okay? And that both establishes a user's presence on the MOSN and on the user's location. Okay? Another interesting aspect of these mobile devices that is new relative to a traditional browser. So a traditional browser doesn't have a unique identifier per se in terms of when something runs or even when JavaScript runs within a traditional browser, there's no way of coming up with some unique identifier for that particular browser. There's work that is out there in terms of can we fingerprint what a browser looks like, but there's no guaranteed unique identifier. Okay. On the other hand, mobile devices do have a unique identifier. They're used as part of verification in installing applications. So one of the questions we want to look at is this unique identifier, is this getting out or is this leaked beyond the social networking site that we're actually accessing? Okay. And just look at to what degree is there linkage between these mobile social networking sites and traditional sites. Okay, so what we did is we tried to look across at a number of sites, and we at one point considered a quite a large number of potential sites to study. We narrowed that down to a list of 20. Of those 20, 7 of them we looked at that really are traditional OSNs, but also have a presence on mobile devices, and these 7 were actually part of the ones that we studied a year ago. We also looked at Flickr and Yelp, which have their own special purposes that kind of fit in here, and then we looked at 11 MOSNs here that seem to largely have come into existence with the introduction of mobile devices and are very much geared in that direction. So this was our study set of sites that we looked at. We looked at these 20 in terms of trying to understand some of the different research questions that we were interested in. Okay, so as I said, one of the things that is becoming increasingly common is that the access of these various social networking sites or sites in general is that device-specific applications are being built for them. So, for example, of the 20 MOSNs that we looked at here, 19 of the 20 at the time we did this had an iPhone app. Okay, so all but one of the 20 has an iPhone app, with a little bit less as we move down on different devices. And certainly, probably some of these have updated this is from a few months ago. I would guess that, for example, the Android would have a few more than what we had at the time, but gives a sense that these various social networking sites are developing device-specific applications to make it easier to be used, for their content to be used on these mobile devices. Okay, so with this, we looked at a number of research questions or issues here. One of the things that we had looked at before was the availability of user information with these within these mobile online social networks. Okay, what information is asked for? To what degree is that information available to other users? To what degree is a user's location and presence on the MOSN known and revealed to others? To what degree do we have an interconnectedness of these MOSNs with social networking sites? One of the things we looked at last year was the leakage of private information to third parties via social networking sites. So to what degree do we see that for these MOSNs? Finally, to what degree do we see leakage of new PII, personally identifiable information, to third parties? And specifically, we look at here, we have this unique identifier for a device. Is that unique identifier being leaked? Okay. So we looked at each of the 20 MOSNs. We looked at accessing each of these MOSNs via a traditional browser, via the mobile web browser, and also via an application if it existed. As I said, we actually used the Apple iPhone as our platform for apps because it had an app for virtually all. I think the only one that not was at the time was Hi-Fi. Largely, we used a web proxy to capture HTTP traffic, which certainly works well for browsers. And it turns out it also was able to capture almost all communication that is generated by the applications themselves. Okay, so in most cases, the applications are actually using HTTP to communicate back to a server. There were a few cases that applications were either using a different protocol or sending information to a different port. We did use a network sniffer, and we didn't see any additional leakage in that case beyond what we show here. So basically, for each one of those interfaces and for each one of these social networking sites, then we would log in, perform a number of actions that would be appropriate for that particular interface and that social networking site, record those sessions, and then examine those sessions to see whether we see various kinds of leakage of information. Okay, so one of the things we did, and this is very much consistent with what we did in terms of looking at social networking sites, is what kinds of information are being asked for, and by default, what is the availability of that information from that information is always available on that mobile social networking site to that information is always unavailable. So the first two numeric columns there are probably the most important because that means they're either always available or available by default. So basically what we examine is things like location, gender, name, friends, activities show up quite a bit. Our specifically asked part is part of the MOSNs. So this is examining just the 13 MOSNs that we, not including the 7 that were overlapped from that we previously looked at. I'd say overall what we observe is that there is probably less information that is asked for of users by these MOSNs relative to the more traditional OSNs that we looked at before. Another interesting aspect is in terms of controlling access to this information. Most of these MOSNs allow users to control access to this information via the full website interface to the MOSN, but the minority of these provide any privacy settings on the mobile or mobile application interfaces. Okay? So typically the apps allow access to the information, but don't have the same richness in terms of the interface, in terms of, say, controlling all the privacy settings of who can see what. Okay, so one of the things that these MOSNs have is this notion of checking in and providing comments. So we, again, divided this up between the 7 that we had looked at before. Public comments like Facebook wall or Twitter timeline, 5 of those have public comments by default, but only 1 allowed a user to establish a current location at this point. When we look at the 13 others, about half of them allowed when a user checked in their current location, that location was public to everybody within the MOSN. Okay? And in the majority of the cases, a comment that would be made by a user on that MOSN would be available to all users. Okay? In terms of interconnectedness with traditional OSNs, we looked at 12 of these, and of those, 10 of the 12 that we looked at actually allow a user to connect their comments or their check-ins with Twitter, 8 with Facebook, and a couple more with Flickr, basically meaning that any comments or any check-ins that a user makes on the MOSN basically get sent and posted on a Facebook wall or again on the Twitter timeline for the user. Okay? And one of the things is, regardless of what privacy settings a user has on the MOSN, those comments, when they are posted on the OSN, basically the comments and who can see those comments are pertinent to how the user has their OSN settings on that on the OSN itself. Okay, so there's a few examples of the kind of, so the next thing we looked at is, well, what kinds of leakage did we observe? A few examples that we see from this. So here is kind of one example from BuzzD. BuzzD was one of the sites that we looked at, the mobile website of where is part of accessing part of that site, that the OSN identifier within BuzzD gets leaked via the referrer field to AdMob here. Okay? So this is one of the kinds of leakage we observe. We also observe leakage where, rather than an OSN identifier getting leaked, that information is being pulled out of the user profile and being passed directly. So here is an example where the gender of the user is leaked. Now, I have in comment here, since deceased, this actually came out of a Radar app. It's our understanding, kind of since the time we published this, that Radar is no more. Radar was one of our ones that we looked at. I also have here this iPhone UDID. I'll come back to that one in a later example. Okay. We also see cases where, in going to a site, and so here is using BuzzD, and this is actually the BuzzD application, where a post request is made to pinchmedia.com. So what's being done is pinchmedia.com, that something is a script is running and basically gathering up information. Both gathering up the unique device identifier, this UDID of the user's phone, also the user's current location, and as part of other information that is being passed off to Pinch Media here, that information is being sent. Okay. We also observe in a number of cases, location is also passed along when users in many of these applications want to show a user's location on a map. That map service, oftentimes Google's map service, just to point out that in many of these cases, the user's current location is via this map service. And we didn't flag that is, quote, leakage, but that is another case where user's information is going off to a third party. Okay, so with these kind of examples, this table kind of summarizes what we found. So basically, looking at three different interfaces, mobile web interface, application interface, or full web interface, different kinds of information that might be leaked. So in the upper right-hand corner, we see 18 of the 20 social networking sites, 18 of the 20, that the OSN identifier is leaked to a third party via the full web interface. Okay? So last year we found 11 out of 12. So still substantial leakage of a user's identifier on a social networking site via the full web interface. Okay? Mobile and applications, obviously less. Overall, you certainly see fewer third parties being used by the mobile interface and by applications. Okay? We also observe cases where a user's information from a user's profile on the social networking site is explicitly being passed, things like gender, age, information like that. In two of the cases, in two of the apps, we actually see the location being passed off to a third party. Okay. So one question would be, well, you know, what is the intention, or why is this leakage happening? Okay? And a few reviewers commented on that. So one, let me be clear. Clearly, we don't know why this leakage is occurring. Okay? We don't know what the intention is of the social networking sites. Is this leakage happening intentionally on their part or not intentionally? We don't know. Okay? So what we're trying to do is leakage occurring? Okay? We can observe and maybe divide things up of whether that leakage, what we will call explicit, in the sense, is it showing up as part of the request URI? Is it showing up as part of a post? Okay? If it is showing up as part of the request URI, as part of a post, it's pretty difficult to prevent unless we're going to filter out on a per-server basis, okay? In other case, we can look and categorize some leakage as implicit if it's via a referrer field or via a cookie header, and we do observe those kinds of things. It is possible for a user to, certainly, to filter out referrer fields or filter out, say, cookies or cookies to third parties, so that might be a little bit easier for a user to prevent in one hand, okay? So we identified 26 instances where the OSN identifier was leaked. In 9 of those cases, it came as part of a post or as part of the request URI, okay? In all of the cases that we saw individual pieces of information, a private information or location leak, they were all either via a post or via a request URI. Okay, the last one that we looked at, and I said I would come back to here, is, so on the iPhone, there is a unique device identifier, UDID, for short. And what we observed, and so here is one case that via, in this case, a Wattpad application is leaked to ads.mobclicks.com, that the iPhone user identifier. Okay? We found such case for 6 of the MOSN apps that we had. Okay? And overall, and I think this is telling, the various kinds of leakage that we looked at, we observed some type of leakage of private information by all 20 of the MOSNs that we studied to a third party. Okay? So there is a lot of information that is floating around. Information is being leaked explicitly or implicitly to third parties. Okay, so let me finish up. So last year we identified and we said social networking sites, via these social networking sites, we're seeing various kinds of leakage. Okay? We looked at these new phenomena, these mobile online social networks, and we see not only the same kinds of leakage that we observed before, but in a sense, new leakage, things like location, device identifiers, okay? In a sense, the problem is more interesting and more challenging in terms of a privacy. As users are willing to share their information across social networking sites, it becomes, in one sense, that's there to encourage and say, hey, here's what I'm happening, you know, here's what I'm doing on Foursquare, that gets over to Facebook, but it also opens up possibilities in terms of who is able to access that information, okay? Certainly, as looking at this, it's interesting to see if and how things evolve as we move forward, okay? And that's certainly of interest to us, and is the situation getting better, is it getting worse by identifying these things? And certainly we'd like to look in specific devices beyond just the iPhone itself. That was a convenient interface. There was an app for pretty much all of the sites we looked at, but we'd certainly like to look and extend that to other devices. Okay. Thank you.
Duke University. So I wanted to a little bit elaborate on your slide about the intentions, explicit versus implicit.
Okay.
So my question is, have you tried to maybe contact the developers of the applications, asking like, is it a part of business model? Because if it's a part of business model, then the problem is a little bit broader, right? Because, you know, we are interfering in our, you know, completely different world, non-technical world. Or it's kind of careless programming where, you know, they just want to know, is it an iPhone device or Android device, and, you know, they just include the piece of the identifiable.
Let me turn this over to my colleague who works for a big company who worries about.
who would that be?
So we didn't do this by the time we submitted the final version of the paper, but as of last week, we'd actually notified all the MOSNs we studied, and a couple of them replied. One of them replied saying, specifically the example is in the talk, I don't need to identify them. They said that such leakage is common.
So that makes it right.
That was the official answer. Other questions?
Other questions.
Kapil Singh from Georgia Tech. My question is somewhat related to what we were just discussed. Have you actually tried to correlate what was a public information or particular OSN to what was being leaked? Because there's some information which is actually public. For maybe like Facebook allows picture to be a photo to be a public information. So have you actually tried to relate that with to a particular OSN?
You mean?
Because there's some public information which is already there and which is intended to be public. So if it is being passed as one of the parameters in the HTTP request, so have you tried to see what are not public or what are
okay,
public?
Okay, so, okay. So, so this is a good question. So if we identify that some of the information from my profile is being handed off to a third party, so the question seems to be implying, well, maybe if that information is already public, that, you know, what my gender is or what my age is, I already have that part of my public profile, so who cares if it gets handed off to a third party? Okay? One, I believe, and we haven't carefully looked at it, I do believe I can identify some social networking sites that are handing off information that by default is not public to other users within the social networking site. Okay, but I won't try to name names without going back and look at it. But, right. But let me point out that what the difference is. So if I'm on Facebook and my age and my gender is public to everybody, that's one thing. But what happens is if now my information, my public information gets handed off to a third-party aggregator, that's now they not only know that information, which is, quote, public, but what does that third-party aggregator also doing? They're keeping track of every other website that I am visiting. So they have my behavioral profile. If I hand off my age and my gender to you, that's all you have. You don't know all the sites that I'm out there visiting in the world. So what I'll argue is these third-party aggregators have a lot of information that some other Facebook user does not have. Okay? And to say as a Facebook user or as a Twitter user or whatever that I'm making information public, well, who am I making information public to? I'm making information public to other social networking users. But now the fact that that can be linked in with my behavior, my browsing behavior, I think that that's a real privacy concern.
So I really like this paper. So a quick question. Could you talk a little bit about the granularity of controls that MOSNs had in their privacy settings? Because I'm not actually aware of any that of the ones that I've seen. So.
Well, the one I'll come back to is, I'll come back to this slide anyway. There is some granularity there, and it's not universal that some sites, for example, just this notion of a check-in, that actually has a fair amount of variation there of what happens to it by default. That when I check in my current location in 3 of the 13 that we looked at, that's available to everybody in the MOSN. In 3 other cases, it's available by default. In 2 cases, it's unavailable by default. It's only available to my friends unless I do something else. I mean, that's probably the primary one that I have. And actually, in 5 cases, there's not actually an explicit check-in mechanism. So I'd say there's a little bit less, Bala?
Granularity actually exists quite a bit. In some places, you can restrict to friends within a
city. Depending on which MOSN, you know, almost nobody uses it. Yeah. It's a little bit of a high. There's certainly not a lot of uniformity there.
Oh yeah, I was just curious. Out of all the OSNs that you looked at, when you talk about leakage, did you ever look at their AUPs or terms of use? I don't know where it would be stated, but like where they tell you what information they're selling to advertisers. And I was wondering, Bala, it seems like Bala alluded to this earlier about email addresses, but how much of that was in violation of their?
Okay, so that is a great question, and I think it would be good to understand this in terms of what can be allowed. And to be honest with you, it's not my expertise, nor is it Bala's expertise. And on one hand, we haven't gone there. I mean, a little bit, I kind of go on, what would I as a user expect? I don't care what the fine-grained language says. And if it says, yeah, we can give your information to anybody, well, is that a reasonable expectation? But, you know, if somebody wants to go ahead and investigate what somebody is allowed to do, that we actually have not gone and done that.